day, and welcome to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, I'm really glad you've decided to join us today. What's driving you to the polls this fall? What are the things that you really care about, the things that you think those of us who represent us in Southeast Michigan, in Lansing, or in Washington can do to make life better? Local government is where I think we have maybe the highest expectations of those we cast our ballots for. They're closest to us. They make really important decisions about our daily lives, more so than the people in Lansing or in Washington. And it's more likely that we'll come into contact with those people when we just start going about our lives. It means that state and local officials are the ones who really have the most potential to improve the things that we are most focused on in our everyday lives. That's going to look really different going forward here in Southeast Michigan because of the redistricting that we just endured. After the 2020 census, we decided that citizens, ordinary citizens, would draw the political boundaries for the state legislature and for Congress after decades and decades of politicians getting to do that all on their own. What this group of citizens came up with is at once really interesting and in some ways kind of controversial. It looks really different than the political boundaries that we have lived with for a long time. And a lot of people are concerned about, well, this will mean different representation. It means maybe I live in a different district than I used to. Maybe somebody who's represented me for a long time is no longer going to represent me. These are all the things that are, I think, swirling in our minds, or should be, as we get closer to the August 2nd primary elections, when we'll make some really important decisions about who will go to Lansing and who will go to Washington. So what's driving you to the polls? Sheila Cockrell has been talking with 100 candidates in Southeast Michigan about what they are proposing to get you to come out to vote for them. Sheila is a political consultant and former Detroit City Council person who currently runs Citizen Detroit, where she tries to promote more active citizen engagement. And we've invited her back onto the program to talk with us about the interviews that she's been conducting, what she's learned, and how she thinks these new political maps, these new political boundaries, are going to affect Detroiters and Michiganders in the upcoming elections. Sheila, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Stephen, it's great to be with you. You always have such insightful, contextual analysis for I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, and also with us is Greg Bowens, who is a longtime political consultant here in Southeast Michigan, who's been paying pretty close attention to not only the redistricting, but also the races that are unfolding in these new districts. Greg, welcome back to the show as well.
Hey, Stephen. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here, too. Okay, so, Sheila, I first want to talk about this effort that you've been making, not just to interview the candidates, but to give them an opportunity to speak directly to voters. You videotape them talking about who they are and what their ideas are. What drives you to do this, and give us a sense of how this process actually works?
Sure. Thank you, Stephen, and good morning, Greg. It's good to share the airwaves with you as well. Citizen Detroit has, going back to 2017, we've had a place, informdetroit.org, which is a website where people can go to listen, to hear candidates in their own voices. One of the things I learned in 16 years on city council is that people want factual, trustworthy information. People will make their own informed decisions, but decisions have to be informed by facts, and that there's a great interest in factual information and in hearing people in their own voices. So we did not do videos with 100 folks. We invited the 100 candidates who are, who were certified to be on the ballot by the clerks to do a video. 53 of the candidates actually did videos. And so what we have done is on our website done two or three things, which I'll talk about a little bit in the course of this conversation. One, we put up a tool from the League of Women Voters called Vote 411, where if you put in your address, you can determine what district you're in, because everybody's in a new district. People may have received a voter registration card. You need to look at it, because your district numbers are going to be different than they've been in the past for the state legislature, both House and Senate. We have that tool there. So the first thing you can do is find out what district you're in. And then that you can go and watch the videos for your district. And then if you wish to, which we think is a really important tool, we're encouraging people. We have a link to the Secretary of State's online application for an absentee ballot. We feel in terms of the sort of whole reality here nationally, as well as in the state, of efforts at voter suppression, that providing people with the option to vote absentee is a really important chance for people to make sure their voice is heard and they're not in any situation where there's any efforts at intimidation. So that's the framework. Citizen Detroit, has a history of providing people with factual information on public policy issues that impact residents of Detroit. What we do know with this redistricting is that we're in a whole new world. We've had mixed, city and suburban districts for a number of years that have worked very well. We now have a situation where the city of Detroit does not have a standalone district in either the House or the Senate. Mm. The city of Detroit is now, and I call them slices, is divided up into 8 slices in the state Senate and 15 slices in the state House. What this does do now is create a fascinating opportunity for regional conversation, regional dialogue, and the identification of shared issues across regional boundaries, because somewhere north of slices of 30 suburban communities are now in a district with slices of Detroit. So it's a chance to really sort of have another forum for the kind of regional dialogue that can potentially over time break through the history of residential racial segregation that's characterized Southeastern Michigan for generations.
Yeah. So you describe it as an opportunity, and I think that's a really, that's a really optimistic way to see what they're doing. There are a lot of people who are kind of concerned about that, though, because that's a real change for Detroiters. Greg, I want to bring you into the conversation here and have you talk about what you think of the way that that the citizen panel decided to draw the political boundaries here in Southeast Michigan. Is this an opportunity for us to think more regionally, to think about community in a way that crosses 8 Mile or Alter or Telegraph?
Yes, I do think that way, Stephen. And I think that Sheila Cockrell, so good to hear your voice, is absolutely right on that score, in that the kind of challenges that we have faced over the years have demonstrated pretty clearly that our challenges don't respect geographical boundaries. The flooding, for example, that had occurred had impacted Detroit and so many other communities. And our solutions to solving these complex problems rely on our ability to work together to do that. And the days of L. Brooks Patterson, type politics, where it's only about, my backyard and nobody else's, are pretty much gone. Now, when the redistricting happened, one of the things that did give me pause, though, was this idea that we did not, as a community, as a political establishment, embrace all of the communities that can be represented. And I mean Black and Brown communities. And so we are faced with this untenable situation where, in order for other communities of colors to rise, we may lose representation as a result. And so I was disappointed in that we didn't have discussions openly and honestly about the need to have South Asian communities represented as they are represented in Oakland County and in that part, the need to have our Middle Eastern communities fairly represented. And being able to do this does not diminish the vote for African Americans or representation for African Americans. So I agree with Sheila Cockrell that we do have a great opportunity here, but there is another caveat that is very clear that we really need to have some serious discussions about race going forward in trying to do this.
Yeah. Sheila, I want to give you a chance to react to that. I know that's a concern that you've had as well.
Sure. Yes, I mean, but when I say this is an opportunity, you know, what I'm being polite about saying is this is a opportunity to really confront the basis of division in southeastern Michigan, which has been race forever, because we're going to be in a situation where a piece of, you know, a city of Southfield and the city of Detroit are going to share the same representative, or a piece of Auburn Hills is going to be representing, is going to be in the same district as a piece of Detroit. And there, for example, in terms of putting this in stark relief, we know that there's been efforts on the part of Auburn Hills leadership to get out of SMART. We know that in Detroit, there's every effort being made all the time to create regional transportation. Whoever that representative is going to have to figure out how to represent what could be very divergent interests. Mm-hmm. Many of those interests are rooted, in my view, historically, in issues and matters of race. So it's an opportunity. When I say it's an opportunity for regional dialogue, it's an opportunity to confront the underlying division that has shaped southeastern Michigan politics for generations.
Yeah. I absolutely want to get to some specific races and get both of your takes on the things that you are finding most interesting as we get closer to August 2nd. But first, I want to invite our listeners to participate in the conversation. If you want to talk about what's going on in Detroit and in the close-in suburbs, we are talking about politics today and how they look different in our community because of the redistricting, how they will be different going forward once we elect representatives and they represent parts of the city of Detroit as well as parts of the suburbs, a real shift in the way that lines get drawn here in Southeast Michigan. Give us a call. 313-577-1019 is the number on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to the WDET Facebook page, put comments there. You can go to Twitter and hashtag Detroit Today, and we can work you into the conversation that way. Greg, I'm going to start with you because I know that we've got to let you go at about 9:30. Give me a sense of the races that, in your mind, kind of define this shift that we're seeing in the way that Detroit will be represented, and the candidates who have your attention in the way that they're trying to, I guess, lean into this new dynamic.
Well, there are two races certainly for Congress in the 13th and in the 12th. In the 12th, you have Rashida Tlaib, Chanel Jackson, and Kelly Garrett, who are running, you know, for that open seat. And Rashida Tlaib is the beast, man. I mean, she has been strong. She's a strong campaigner. And the interesting thing about this is that, you know, Rashida would be the first to say, well, I'm not Black. I've been raised in Black neighborhoods. I have Black brothers and sisters, you know, who taught me the value of righteousness when it comes to fighting for civil rights, social justice, and the Black perspective. At the same time, you've got folks who say, well, I get that. They're having representation looks
We are getting a little bit of interference there with Greg. We're going to try to get that all sort of stabilized there so that we can continue to hear what he was getting at there, which I think was a really important point when we think about politics here. But Sheila Cockrell, let's have you pick up where he was leaving off there. He was talking about Congress. We do have two congressional districts that represent the city of Detroit. What interests you about those races?
Well, I think, first of all, we should also add that in the 13th, the 12th now, we have Janice Winfrey is also on that, is in that primary. I think what part of what we can see with the two congressional races is one of the impacts of having many, many people running in a primary, because I mean in the new 13th, there's a ton of Detroit candidates, many people who have name recognition, one of my concerns is that the way the race could easily play out is Sri Tanadar, who's the state legislator right now, mm-hmm. who in the state legislature only represents Detroit, is going to have an advantage because the other candidates are going to potentially split up the vote because people have their own constituencies who are going to support them no matter what. So I think this sort of reflects the situation where there's not a sort of a political consensus that drives what individual politicians decide to do. And that's the all-American way. Of course, anybody can run for any office they want to, but for consolidation of power, it makes it a much more challenging situation, I think. Yeah. So we have a situation where potentially the city of Detroit the threat is that the possibility is out here that there will be no black person representing the city of Detroit in the United States Congress. Yeah. I think that's a real concern. So, I think it's those are interesting races to follow. But I want to focus at some point, Stephen, more on the state legislative races, because mm-hmm. I really do believe that that's as important, if you will. What happens in Lansing is as important for Detroiters as what happens in Washington. And I think one of the most important things to understand about the redistricting is that each of the districts in the state legislature are now approximately 40% African American. The commission took registered voters and made a careful and thoughtful consideration about creating districts where there was an opportunity for African-American people to run for office and African-Americans who live in suburbs to have their voices heard. The issue is that these races are mainly decided decided in the primary. And if you look at turnout in Detroit of primary voters, people who vote in primaries, it is a significant drop-off from other cities, other communities. And so my concern is that there are going to be challenges over time, for sure, to the ability of a Detroiter to get through a primary unless we work really hard and increase and improve significantly the turnout by Detroit voters in primary elections.
Yeah, yeah. I do want to get back to that question of the state legislature and the way that those districts were drawn, but we do have Greg back on mm-hmm. a more stable connection here, and I want to, before we have to let him go, sure. I want to let him finish what he was saying. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah. So no, the congressional thing and the state thing, I think, are all related in this situation about uh-huh. black representation. I don't want to sound like a broken record here, as it relates to that. When it comes to representation, I think it's also important to remember the historic migration patterns that have occurred. And so while the idea that it's 40% black district, those 40% are scattered out throughout these districts, and still, even when we have an all-black Detroit district, for example, we are represented by non-black folks. So I guess that, you know, what's happening is that we are struggling, I think, as a region in trying to balance the need for representation and fairness. You know, there's nuanced here. I get that. At the same time, it's plain and simple. I need to have people who look like me, who represent me somewhere in this mix. You know?
Yeah. Okay. Greg Bowens, it's always really great to have you here on the program. And I know you pay really close attention to this stuff and always have really great insight. So I really do appreciate you coming to be with us on the show today. And I know you had to run, but I really appreciate the time.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate you, folks.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to continue talking with Sheila Cockrell, CEO of Citizen Detroit, about what's going on in Detroit as we get closer to the August 2nd primaries. We'll also start to get to you guys on the phones and on social media. Frank in Livonia, Ed in Detroit, Chris in Detroit. You'll be up first if you want to join them. 313-577-1019 is the number here on the phones. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Facebook and to Twitter, put comments there, and we can include you in the show that way. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.
WDET is your connection to what's happening in Detroit.
WDET is your place for open dialogue about the issues that impact you.
Stay in the know.
This is WDET FM,
Detroit's NPR station.
This is Detroit Today. I'm Stephen Henderson, and my guest is Sheila Cockrell, CEO of Citizen Detroit, political consultant, former Detroit City Council person. And we're talking about politics in Detroit as we get closer to the August 2nd primaries. A really different look of the map this time. The political boundaries are quite different than they were the last time we went to the polls to elect people in the state legislature or in Congress. And that's because we have a different process. Citizens now draw the lines, the political boundaries for the legislature and for the U.S. Congress, and they had a different take on the way that we should be represented. They drew districts that didn't respect municipal lines quite as much as before and leaned into the idea of regional representation, that people in Detroit and people in suburbs like Royal Oak or Southfield or Royal Oak Township or Grosse Pointe should share representation in places, as opposed to having representation that just represents their particular communities. What do you think of that? What do you think of that approach? And what do you think it will yield in terms of the type of folks who will end up representing us in those seats? We want to hear from you during the conversation. 313-577-1019 is the number here. That's 313-577-1019. You can also go to Facebook and Twitter, put comments there, and we'll work you into the conversation. Sheila, before we get to listeners, I do want to talk about a specific race just to give listeners a greater illustration of some of the tensions that exist. And if we look at the state legislature and state Senate district number 8, I think it kind of captures this idea of Detroit and the suburbs, but it gives people in that district a really stark choice in terms of who will represent that area. Will it be someone from the suburbs, or will it be someone from the city? That district pits State Senator Mallory McMorrow against State Senator Marshall Bullock. He's from the city. She's from the suburbs. He's African-American. She's white. This is what we are kind of facing in a lot of different places now in Southeast Michigan.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And you have two legislators who, you know, whose political agendas, they're not, you know, lockstep, but they're generally in the same framework. I mean, they're They're both members of the Democratic Party and are both very have been very active in the caucus, the Senate caucus. It is a stark difference in the sense of city, suburb, black, white, male, female. It sort of captures all of the elements. And in one sense, one could say people in this new district have the, on the Democratic side, the opportunity to, pick from two really good people. And there is a Republican running who's also a Detroiter. A Brandon Ronald Simpson is the Republican candidate. So it'll be interesting to see what the dynamic is after the primary, depending on who wins. For example, if McMorrow were to win the primary, then we would have a white suburban woman running against a black Detroit man in the runoff. That would be, that would be a very interesting dynamic to see how it plays out in the November general election. The biggest message that has to be gotten out here to people is the primaries really matter. And for whatever your interests are, city or suburban, your voting in the primaries is going to take on greater weight, because that's when the party, standard bearer is going to get selected. And your choices then, if, depending on what party you're in, are going to be determined by an election that happens in August as opposed to November. So it's a really interesting change. I mean, I keep saying there's 10 or 11 PhDs that are going to be able to get written based on this redistricting and what it's going to mean the next 10 years.
Yeah, what it's going to look like. Rochelle on Twitter says it's important that those running for office have a strategy that they can talk about when it comes to balancing the needs of a variety of communities. What is their approach? What steps will they take to partner with communities of varying people? I think that's a really insightful observation there. Go ahead, Sheila.
No, I mean, absolutely. And it's going, by listening to some of the candidates who did do videos, it's like some folks, we all have to have a different mindset. I mean, we're all in Southeastern Michigan, say we all, but many, many people in Southeastern Michigan have a reflex position of us versus them, whether it's city, suburb, black, white, you take your choice. But that this approach, we're going to have to all unlearn that and begin to think more collaboratively. And I think the caller's or the person's point of view is absolutely on point. We're going to have to think differently and consider the needs and interests across some of these geographic boundaries.
Yeah. Let's go to Chris in Detroit. Chris, welcome to the show. We lost Chris there. Chris, give us a call back. We'll get you on the air. Let's instead go to Ed in Detroit. Ed, what's on your mind?
This is an absolutely wonderful conversation. I remember when the Detroit delegation in the state house, or in the state legislature, was a huge delegation. Of course, the city had almost 2 million people. And there were anywhere from 4 to 6 congressional districts wholly within the city of Detroit. And I recall thinking, talking with some members of the legislature in the 80s, were mulling over, now what's going to happen in the future? And it occurred to me that one day we're going to have a congressional district that runs from Detroit into Macomb County on the east side, and one on the west side that runs into Oakland County. Now, things didn't work out that way in reality, but as both of your guests have pointed out, and it is going to require such a huge change in the way we have historically thought about representation and elections in this region, that I think Ms. Cockrell is absolutely right. Yeah. There are going to be a lot of PhD dissertations.
Yeah, there's a lot of reason to study this stuff.
Be generated out of Detroit.
Yeah.
I hope I'm around to read some of them.
Right. Ed, I really appreciate the call and that insight. That question of the difference, for instance, between a district for that might stretch across 8 Mile on the west side of Detroit into Oakland County, and one that might stretch across 8 Mile on the eastern side of the city into Macomb, those would be very, very different kinds of different districts. They would produce a lot of different dynamics, Sheila. We don't see that in Congress, but we are starting to see more of that in the legislative maps.
Yes, and we're going to see a ton more of it with this redistricting. I mean, this blows up county boundaries. I mean, Detroit is in, there's one district that has the city of Detroit, pieces of communities in Oakland, Macomb, and Western Wayne County. That's going to be one district. I mean, the impacts on even county government and the role of counties is going to be impacted by this, because representatives are going to be juggling the interests of, in some cases, very diverse communities. I mean, we literally do have one district that runs from Auburn Hills, pieces of Auburn Hills, all the way down through to Detroit. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a very interesting challenge. The other thing we should know right off the top is that there are 3 Senate districts and 3 House districts where Detroit will for sure be represented by a suburban person, because no Detroiters either filed to run or we're not disqualified. So we know for sure 3 House and 3 Senate are going to have a suburban representation. But, you know, it's going to be a change. We stop to think about the Detroit delegation may have a significant population of suburban members.
That's
just a mind-boggling shift. The Detroit delegation is going to have members of many of different suburban communities in there, which is, as again, this is why this is an opportunity. It's a challenging opportunity, but it is the first sort of rooted in day-to-day reality opportunity to address and to confront and to, you know, work through the basic division that's been the city-suburb divide certainly my entire life.
Yeah. Again, thanks for the call, Ed. Let's quickly go to Frank in Livonia. Frank, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning. You know, I worked really hard on that proposal, too, to get that passed. And I really think it's a wonderful opportunity. And I have to say, as Ms. Cockrell says, is if African Americans can realize their voting power, especially in the primaries, you know, any of these districts that are suburban Detroit, they're going to have that successful politician is going to have to make a message that's appeals to African Americans, you know, either in Detroit or in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I look at things that, you know, like at what's happened in Georgia. I mean, I think that is like a tremendous thing that's happened down mm-hmm. there, where African Americans have realized their kingmaker status.
Yep.
And look at when I've never been a resident of the city of Detroit, but it has a big influence on everything around here. When the city went from at-large voting for city council to districts, you know, that's kind of a little miniature thing of what's going on statewide now.
Yeah. Frank, really appreciate the call and the comments. And I want to say something really specific about your comparison to what's going on in Georgia. The key there is very simple. Register and vote. Stacey Abrams has figured out a way to get African-American voters to register in numbers that they hadn't before. And she's figured out how to get them to show up. And of course, when that happens, the outcomes reflect it. And the number of African-American votes that are out there really can make things happen. We still have that challenge here, Sheila, not just in the city of Detroit, but into the suburban districts as well. If people register and vote, they can have more of a say.
Absolutely. And I think, again, refining this notion of voting in primaries is really important.
Yes.
Really important that people vote in primaries, and that the that we're going to begin, we'll begin to see it on August 2nd, what that means. But that is really essential. And we have a culture that says the primaries don't matter. It's just the November election. Actually, we only really think, we're taught that the presidential elections are what's important, and these other elections are called off-year elections. There's nothing off about any of these elections. Every single election is critical because the people who are going to represent your interests are going to be selected, and it's going to matter. I mean, if there's a candidate, the person that wins is going to look at who voted in the primary, who voted in the general, and if you've got a community that was a high turnout community that has one position on an issue, and you have another city community that where there was a low participation, what's that politician going to do? Why is that person going to say, well, I'm going to vote with Detroit if there's a low turnout in Detroit versus Auburn Hills if there's a high turnout in Auburn Hills around this issue of regional transportation? It matters. People have got to show up at these polls, and that's why we're really encouraging people to use the absentee ballot tool that the state Secretary of State's office has put together. It takes less than 2 minutes. You can do it on your phone, and you can get a ballot. It works. Sent to your home, you fill it out, and you mail it back in, and you then for sure your voice is going to be heard. Right. Can't say it enough. Vote, vote, vote.
That's right. Get out there and vote. Okay, Sheila Cockrell, CEO of Citizen Detroit, former Detroit City Council person. Always great to have you here on Detroit Today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Have a great day.
We're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with members of the media outlet Bridge Detroit about a public forum that they're having tonight on Belle Isle to engage city residents. This is the culmination of a series of public forums around the city to really talk to Detroiters one-on-one about the challenges that they have in their neighborhoods and communities. Stay where you are. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.